with Bible Intake Part 2, Chapter 3. We'll see how far we get. This is an important one. This is one of those that has a few topics in it that we could probably spend an hour talking about some of the subpoints in here. We won't probably do that, but in other words, there's a lot here, so I don't feel like we're probably going to make it to the next chapter. We're not going to rush to do that. But it is Bible Intake Part 2, which means it was Part 1. So the summary of Part 1 is essentially the kind of passive Bible intake. So it's where you are simply receiving, whether you're reading or hearing the Scriptures. And I think he mentioned studying in the last one too, which is not as passive, but probably that belonged in this chapter. But this is more of the interactive. So meditation is the big one in this one, and memorization. So the introduction to this is, it's pretty obvious. Like, we need to read our Scriptures, right? We need to hear them, but this is a quote from the book. I believe my page numbers are correct, so you can 90% of the time you can trust that number on the right to be a correlating page number to either the quote or the principle we're talking about. So the problem is that, according to Whitney, hearing and reading the Bible by themselves usually aren't sufficient for remembering what we've received. So this is at the core of what we're doing now. We've moved from I'm just listening to the Word of God, or I'm just reading the Word of God, to the now I'm taking it and I'm hiding it in my heart, which is kind of a fully warped process, right? You know, I was talking to an unnamed child today about reading comprehension grades and how just the fact that you understand a word and you understand multiple words on their own does not mean you comprehend what the sentence is saying. So you need to learn how to understand what the author is telling you. So this is obviously part of the issue, right? We've all, show of hands, anybody who has never in your life read something in the Scripture and looked up and forgotten what you just read? No? Okay. For the record, there are no hands. We've all done that. I've done it a lot. I've done it multiple times in a row. Read it again. What was that again? You know, and it's just like it just goes right by you. So we're trying to combat that tendency and really double down on the times when we do it well, even. So it's not just correcting a problem, it's really just honing a skill. So if you already do it, let's do it better. So the problem, as he says, is we need to get beyond just the hearing, and we need to, what I'll say is we need to internalize it. We need to, as Scripture says of itself, hide it in our hearts. And I think that's what we're talking about today. How do you hide it in your heart? And it's more than just reading it. So the three aspects we're going to talk about in this chapter are memorizing, meditating on God's Word, and last one, which is almost always in there, applying. So there's two kind of application headings in here. One is the applying God's Word, and then there's applying what you've learned in this chapter. So we're not going to combine those two. It's a separate thing. At the end, it's more like the application for you directly is, okay, now that you've understood, memorized, meditated, and applying, what are you going to do about it? So I will leave that to you, and we might go over it some weeks, but this week we're not going to hammer on that, because there's a lot more to get to. first one, memorizing. That sounds like
we were talking about this in Sunday school this past week. You know, the things that you learned as a child, those scriptures, I could still quote those, what I had to learn in GAs and that sort of thing. And as an adult, I have learned some scripture through choir, through singing, because we sing scripture. But as far as sitting down, unlike you, it's hard enough to read it and keep focus on it, much less try to memorize. And I have tried lately. I'm trying to do that, but
well, this one is intimidating to me. It's maybe of all of the Bible intake sort of headings and principles, this is the most intimidating. It feels, I mean, because it is the one that has a scorecard, right? Like, it's the one where it's like, you either do it or you don't. There's like a check mark that you did it, and if you did, you know.
Well, and I think, too, as we age, we see our own struggle in not being able to complete the task. Like, it almost reminds us of our, what shall I say, not our failures, but our, just our, the inability of our minds.
Our oldness.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like our shortcomings, yes, of being able to commit things to memory. And I think it's daunting because you want to remember scripture, but yet when you try, you're reminded over and over again that you, like I said, you're, maybe your body and your mind are not as quick to do as you once could, you know, and so
it's,
you're reminded of that.
It's like children have the capacity to learn another language very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we have a child, you know, coming, a Hispanic child, and they're in kindergarten, by the end of the year, they know English.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at the parent who may not know, and they still, they, you know, and it's, sure, it's like your brain has, you know, like it's, when it's pliable when you're little, and then by the time you're an adult, it's hardened.
And I think memorization of something just kind of allows you to see that,
yeah,
in, well, a more tangible way.
Let's don't, you know, one of the things I'm gonna stress,
I mean, it's not impossible,
is,
but I'm,
right,
saying,
it's
is
just hard.
To hold yourself to a reasonable standard.
Yeah.
And the standard is not going to be some of the examples in here, a guy that, you know, memorized 1,000 verses in a year, you know, which he mentions. And I have a lot of, you know, knowing Dr. Wiggins as much as I do, which is not a lot, but a little bit, you know, there's a lot of tendency of, as I tend to write in there sometimes when I read something, I'll put like, you know, you know, he'll say, and if this guy can do it, you can do. And I'm like, I always put there, you dummy, because it's like, the implication is like, well, you ought to be able to. But, you know, there are examples in there to encourage you, but don't feel like you have to be up here or else you're failing. That's what I was getting at with the whole, like, scorecard. That's why it's intimidating, I think, because, you know, you set out with 60 verses in front of you, I'm going to memorize 2 verses a week or something, and you don't do it, then you're like, well, I failed. Mm-hmm. But if you memorized 1 verse, then you've memorized the verse of Scripture. So
this is how I kind of look at it, is it's not so much as, like you say, a scorecard of, like, I'm going to, you know, learn X amount, but I kind of, you know, when I'm reading my, you know, when I have a situation, a problem, or a verse that I really, that speaks to me, that I like, I need to know this verse, and then I will commit to learning that verse. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I might be wrong, but I really focus on that one verse for a long, long time, mm-hmm, because if I don't, then, you know, you kind of lose it after a while, you know, and so, but it's like, by golly, if I know one good verse, you know, every 6 months, you know, then I'm going to just stick to that, but it's applicable.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody can grow in it, so I think that's a good thing. Wherever we are, we can get better at it. And I think part of it, too, is just the mere fact that we try, you know, because I think for a long time, I mean, even right now, honestly, before studying for this, it just hits me like I've not really been focusing on memorizing Scripture in a long time. So you kind of rely on those storehouses, but they get depleted. So we're going to talk about methods and some practical nuts and bolts things here. So he says, Scripture, memorizing Scripture, supplies, spiritual power. And we're going to look up some verses here because I don't have them memorized or nothing. Now, if you want to know about Scripture, Annette knows this whole chapter.
Yeah.
119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, which is the same thing. Hide it hidden in your heart. And Matthew 4:1-11, I've written down there with you, as you know the text. Jesus is being tempted in the desert, in the wilderness, and he is refuting the temptation of Satan with scriptures. And there's been much made about that. I won't preach a sermon here, but nonetheless, memorizing of scripture supplies spiritual power. Even Jesus himself used his memory, his knowledge of the scripture to his own, you know, for his own use and own good. So it is important for us for spiritual power. And like you said, Dinette, I mean, just knowing one verse sometimes, there's a comfort in that. And I have found when there are times when I have been able to focus on scripture memorization, it seems to me that all day long I'm thinking of applications for the scriptures that I know. It's amazing how often I'm like, yeah, and the Lord says this, or scripture says that. And even if you know 2, 3, 4 or so, the more you know, I mean, it really does come to mind. Secondly, memorizing strengthens your faith. We're following along in his pattern here in the book. Where his there's a lot of headings, so if you've read, if you have something you want to mention, just throw it out there. But memorizing strengthens your faith, and he gives a scripture song or Proverbs 22, kind of a longer version there. We'll leave that one kind of as is. Memorizing prepares us for witnessing and counseling. I like this one because it's very tangible. I think the idea that memorizing scripture strengthens your faith is true, but it's kind of hard to wrap your arms around that. Like, what does that do? This is something you can wrap your arms around. I have been in these situations a good bit where you don't have a Bible in your hand, or maybe you just don't feel like right now it's appropriate to go thumbing through your Bible looking for that highlight that you know is on the top left corner of somewhere marked gospel, kind of a thing, you know. And you just have to call it up if you have it. And, you know, witnessing to someone or counseling with someone, it doesn't mean sitting down professional counseling. This just means sharing the gospel. It means iron sharpening iron, two Christians talking to one another. You know, anytime you're speaking to someone about life, spiritual issues, you know, this is the kind of time when scripture comes to mind.
I will say, it's really all of it. I know I'm older than you guys. I don't know if y'all ever heard of CWT, Continuing Witnessing Training. It's also kind of went hand in hand with EE, Evangelism Explosion. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was back in the 80s. And it was a very scripted, like evangelism tool that we used at the church that I was at, and then we'd go out on Mondays and wouldn't. And I know that the pastor who led it, and he said it was really, really important to learn the scripture verbatim, but it was a very scripted. It's the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. I mean, we're talking, but it was how to witness to somebody and then use the scripture to back it up.
We did that, something similar here. It was called Faith.
It was before Faith, because I did Faith as well too, but this was, like I said, it was back in the early 80s. And
I was raised on I don't know if it wasn't all from Romans, but it's where you had the thing, you know, where you could say that we all have sinned, and we confess with our mouth, and do those scriptures. And I had those, and me trying to memorize faith.
But I will say, once you got it, You know, and that's why I think the pastor really wanted to get it verbatim, because, you know, people try to trip you up, or you might be talking to somebody that's going to counter-react to how you're trying to talk to them, or, you know,
yeah.
they're going to call you out on something, and then you're so, I don't know, but I know it's somewhere in the scripture, you know?
Yeah. yeah. Well, this is, you know, memorizing these certain scriptures for certain purposes is good. To me, that's kind of like 201 level. You know, there's a base level here too, where it's just like you said, this scripture speaks to me. Let's memorize that. I think that is a good thing. But if you can't do that, that is expected. That is not easy to do. Memorizing, to me, it's always easier to memorize scriptures that speak to me.
Yes.
Like 100 times easier. Just as a matter of fact, he's going to talk about having a memorization plan, and if you go to a plan that just has a list of verses, I've never made use of those. Those have never worked for me. It's always been as I come to a passage, and there's something in there that I want to remember or highlight, write it down. So we'll talk about some of those specifics, but it is incredibly important to count some of those. I mean, we use it in Kylie all the time with our kids. Just I mean, it is like every day talking to the kids, and it's I want to do that because I want them to know that what they're hearing from me isn't my wisdom.
Yeah.
And I want them years later or whenever for it to sound familiar when they go back to the text.
Yeah, so he said something kind of profound that says that until the verses are hidden in the heart, they aren't available to use with the mouth.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's exactly right. Agreed. And there's just something about, you know, being able to quote it. I don't even, he says verbatim, and I've heard a lot of people say verbatim. You know, like you said.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there's something to that. But
from that training, and that's what I try to do, mm-hmm. is if you learn it verbatim, then it's kind of like you get it so ingrained in you that you don't keep changing. You know, like, hey, you change it up. Like, I can
right.
change it up.
I think that's
now.
What he means.
Yeah.
For me, it triggers a sort of, like, perfectionism. Like, if you don't have it perfect, then you
yeah.
don't know it. But that's not really true.
Yeah.
Just aim for
yeah.
getting it exactly
yeah.
right, I think,
and
is the idea.
And you can tell with me, like, if it's something I have memorized currently, or some as a child, because I'm speaking thou that sleeve.
Yeah.
It's so hard as a child.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in the NIV.
yeah, we switch from King James to NIV.
Yeah.
So, you can minister to others. He says providing memorization provides a means of God's guidance. I think what he's getting at here is you can minister to yourself. So you can say the same kinds of things to yourself if you have those verses, like you said, in it, stored up in your heart. Not only can you use them with your mouth, but you can also use them with your mind, right? You can say them to yourself. You can remind yourself. And so I just had a quick application here. How can you minister to yourself when you have the scriptures memorized or some scripture memorized?
You can fight off thoughts that Satan tries to put in you. You can say, no, that's a lie, because God says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fight temptation. Really, anything you can do for someone else, you can do for yourself, but temptation is pretty personal. That's probably the best application. So, memorization stimulates meditation. We'll talk about meditation in a moment, what it means and what it looks like. But if we're going to do it, we have to have something to meditate on. And so this gives you 24-hour access to the scriptures if you have them already memorized. This passage just says, "Oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day." One of the things I thought about as I was reading through Psalm 119, and I might have been mentioned in the now infamous sermon that
I looked back the other day to see if I could tell how long it took me to write all of that.
In studying through Psalm 119, something occurred to me. He talks about meditating all night, into the night watches and things like this. And while they did have lamps in King David's day, having night at light was an incredible luxury. It's not like we have today. If you're studying God's Word at night, that very likely means it's in your mind. It very likely means it's Scripture that you have memorized. You're not reading, probably. Now, the king might be reading, of course. But an average person is not reading at night. They're, you know, down for the count. They're not using a lot of oil at night. You know, it's expensive. So if you're going to memorize, if you're going to meditate at night, you need to have the Word memorized. And just a good reminder for us, we can do the same thing. So how do we do it? Memorizing, how do you do it? I'm going to tell you how he says to do it. We'll kind of tease out a good plan. Or I won't do it personally, but you can. We can talk about how you might want to do it. Because I don't necessarily think these are hard and fast rules. Like, if you don't do it this way, it don't work. Have a plan is a good idea, though. Whatever your plan is. Because if we don't have a plan, then really it falls off the radar pretty quickly. You know, kind of like for me, it just kind of fell off the radar. Write out the verses, which I do think is a good idea. Now, I'll go ahead and go through them. These two right here to me are interesting, and I'm surprised that he said it, but it makes sense. He mentions this idea of pictures or illustrations or artistic renderings or something multiple times through the process of memorizing Scripture, meditating on the Scripture. And it's just not the kind of thing I would think of, but it's a great idea. Talk about a way to cement things into your brain, your reading them. I would add to this, say them out loud, write them down, draw a picture, any way that you can change the media, you know, the way you're interacting with it is going to help cement it in your mind. Just think about when you were in kindergarten, right? You know, you'd say your letters and then you'd trace them with a big fat crayon, and then you'd color an apple or an A. You know, we do all these.
I tried to do the picture, and it was a good idea. I just one day, because I was wanting to memorize the Scripture, and I have not got it memorized yet.
Yeah.
The armor of faith about, like, you put on the helmet. Yeah. And so I drew like a little person, and I would like the helmet, I think it's the helmet of salvation, and I would put like an S on the helmet, you know, and the sword of truth, you know, just the little pieces of armor, and I would put like a little letter that would represent whatever that was. And so that was probably my closest thing. It was when I read that draw picture, I thought, I kind of did that one time.
It's not something I've really done before.
That was the only, and I think it was because when I worked at Westbrook, we had a hallway that had painted over it before I left, but they had somebody paint on the wall, like an armor, and then they had written down all the pieces of the armor, what they stood for. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that scripture, I thought, that's what I need to do, is just draw out a picture to help me remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the principle is really, you don't have to do every single thing, but one of the things I find helpful for me is writing the verses. So that's something that works for me. I can read it over and over and it doesn't click. I can write it and it's like reading it 50 times for me.
What I have started doing is I use my Bible app and I let the little man read it to me first.
Yeah.
And then I read it and then I write it. But I still haven't memorized
it. There you go. Well, you may not memorize it. But you're closer. I'll tell you what I have done in the past that works for me, and when we get come to the end of this. But so he recommends memorizing word perfectly. Okay. And I think the goal there is to set yourself a goal of memorizing it perfectly. In other words, don't set the goal like getting the gist of the verse, which I do agree with. But I would say it's okay to be okay with not imperfect. You know, you don't want to get something wrong that changes the meaning of the verse. But if you forget a little thing here and there or something like that, it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Be accountable. What we mean by this is just have some way to check yourself. It doesn't have to be another person. You don't have to, involve. You can, of course. But just some way to keep track of what you're doing so that, I said I was going to memorize a verse this week and I haven't. So I need to step it up, or however you do that.
And if you really want to make yourself accountable, tell them like a kid.
Yeah.
That's literally the ultimate accountability in our house, is tell a kid that you're going to do something and they will remind you of it.
Have you done it?
Remember, you said you were going to do this by such and such a date. Yeah.
You can always have them check you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that just adds to their learning as well. No, Mom, you said that wrong.
Some way to check yourself, and this is an important one. He says review and meditate every day. Not necessarily every verse every day, but try not to take long breaks. If you're trying to memorize something, sticking with it every day is going to be helpful, even if it's not the same verse. It's just keeping your mind in that mode, keeping those pathways well-worn. We talked to a guy who's been doing some electrical work at our house, who is native Spanish speaker, and I think he's from Mexico. He said when he returns home for a few days, a couple weeks, and he comes back to the States, he has to catch up. And he's been here for, 20-something years. He has a son that's in his 20s who's an American. And, so it's like just leaving it for a couple of weeks for him, something he's known for 20 years or been studying for 20 years, so to speak.
Well, that's what frustrates me is I work, like when we were in that CWT class, and I worked so hard. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just little verses. It was huge passages that, yeah. It was the most in-depth thing I had ever done. And I learned all that, and I had forgotten. Like you said, I didn't keep up with it, and I just hate that I have, forgotten it. But there'll be little things that'll pop up, and I say, mm-hmm. I remember learning that verse, mm-hmm. I remember learning that passage, but I can't say the whole thing now,
So these are some that I have added to this. This is one that I have found very helpful. This is actually one of the two ways that I memorize scripture the best. It's actually not pulling a verse out of its context and trying to memorize it on its own, but reading a large passage over and over and over again. It makes it sense, because when I have found, there was a time where I read an epistle, a short book, mind you, but, five chapters. Every day I read the same five chapters for several weeks. And at the end of that, I could not quote that book from beginning to the end. It was think the book of Ephesians. But if you said anything that had to do with anything in that book, I knew that verse, and I can tell you what scripture said about that. I could probably quote it pretty good, And because I kind of had this whole general context together, And what I found was also, even though it was only one book, boy, it applied to like everything in my life. You know, I found it. So, you know, I didn't have to memorize Genesis to Revelation to get a really useful set of texts for me, you know. And so that's one thing I do. And this is also something I didn't know this ahead of time, but Dr. Moore, Russell Moore, was a professor at my college or seminary, and he went on to be ERLC president, you know, Southern Baptist ERLC. I don't know what he's doing now, but anyway, so, but he's kind of he's known in the Christian world for being like a really smart guy and just a thinker and all, and he quotes scripture all the time. And I asked him one day, how does he memorize scripture? And he kind of said, I don't try to memorize scripture, I just read the Bible a lot. And I was kind of like, okay. Which is true, because I've kind of known that if you read it a lot. But, you know, what, you know, kind of countering what we just talked about in Bible reading, you know, if you try to read like the whole Bible in a year, which is a good thing, I mean, you can't absorb. If I asked you at the end of the year, okay, now tell me what the Bible says, you're never going to be able to tell me everything you've read. But if you've read the book of John 12 times that year, I bet you could. I bet you could just about tell me everything in the book of John.
Well, so, I think of it as also the Bible stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like once we know a Bible story, we can tell that Bible story.
Yeah.
I mean, we can tell the birth of Jesus.
Yeah.
We can tell about how.
Because you've heard it how many times?
Yes. But I'm thinking we might not know it verbatim, the whole, you know, things, except for maybe what, you know, Linus said on John Brown, you know?
Every year they get
But I just think about the story, you know.
And it's because it's in its context.
It's in its context. It's in, you know, it's like a chunk. And when I say it's a story, it's scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's obviously really helpful. I think, you know, if you look at the Bible, it is written in stories, mm-hmm. really. I mean, you have prophecy and poetry,
you got your parables.
Even poetry, especially if you can read Hebrew, is easier to memorize than, you know, just wrote. What's the word I can't think of? Narrative, but prose that I'm thinking of. Anyway. There's a flow to it that's easier to memorize, but yeah. So I think that's a good point. The Bible stories kind of make that point for us that, you know, memorizing things in their context helps. So this is one way that I think is helpful if you want to memorize something instead of just booking down, you know, looking down on one scripture verse. Try it, see how it works. A passage or the epistles, quite frankly, are the hardest to memorize to me. Because it is so precise and technical. And but memorizing something like the story of the feeding of the 5,000 or something like that, or that's going to be easier. Anyway, the second thing I would encourage you to do, which is kind of obvious. Well, I say encourage you. These are things that help me. It's using the same version. It sounds obvious, but, you know, reading, you know, your NIV for your morning study, and then you try to memorize the NIV, and then picking up the New American Standard, it is not going to go well. Pick a version. Stick with it for memorizing. Obviously, we've talked about reading from different versions for study, but for a book, one that you're trying to memorize from, use the same one. It frustrated me because I kind of had to switch midstream when I was, you know, going through seminary and college and all. Like, you just kind of, sometimes you don't have that choice. Like, college, I picked up New American Standard, kind of was like, okay, this is what you do here, this is what this college wants, I did that. And I had to memorize a bunch of verses, and we got to seminary, and they were like, no, most of our professors are English Standard, and all your work's going to be there, so I did that. Then we got back to, when I started pastoring, that church was like, they were King James, but they were like, we just kind of made the switch to New American Standard with the last pastor. I was like, okay, so I went back, and I was like, could tell. And then, like, kind of like Annette, most of my Bible verses deep down were some sort of weird amalgamation of King James and New International. Because I had these and thous in there, but it wasn't the King James. I don't know what I was reading.
Well, back in my day, you had the choice of King James, and then they came out with the Good News. And that's the only two you had back then.
Yeah.
Oh, they have the New King James now.
Yeah, the new. Well, the ones
it's the New King James that takes out the thee and thous.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
It's the exact same families of text of. So it's the same.
My poor dad, he went to a church one time and preached, and he used a different version besides the King James Version. And he was just like filling in like an introvert, just like after we got finished, they called him with the side and said, "We don't want you to come back because you do not use the King James."
Yeah.
That happens more often than you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that was God's version.
You would be surprised how close that is to the truth. When I was at University of Mobile, there's kind of the hub of the King James only universe is in Pensacola, Florida.
Really?
And there's a guy named Peter Ruckman who's, he's the center of it all. I think he's dead now, but. Even had followers called Ruckmanites that were like his followers.
Wow.
And I've read some of his stuff, and it is plumb crazy. There's some of the people in that camp that actually thought Moses spoke King James English, and that Hebrew was a corruption of King James English, that it was a corrupted form. And I was like, that is crazy. Y'all, it's crazy. So, and they thought that the angel spoke King James. I'm like, serious. So when we say it's good enough for Paul and Peter, like, they were like, yeah, it was. So, yeah, there's some out there, people. So the other thing I do, I use note cards to help me. So if I'm memorizing a few scriptures together, that's an easy way for me. I don't know why. It just stands out. And it's something about the act of writing, and I don't know why it's different. It helps me, maybe it doesn't help you, it wouldn't help you, but.
I like to use note cards and I'll leave out words, I'll draw a blank, leave out words and have to fill them in as I'm reading or reviewing the note cards.
I listened to that, the Daily Grace Code, and one of their things, they were talking one day about an app that you can download that does that to help you memorize scripture.
Yeah.
Where it just does.
And it leaves out something.
Yeah,
I'll just leave out random words throughout.
Well, that's how our kids have Bible verses in the elementary that they have to memorize every week. And so when they go to take their Bible verse tests, they will write the verse and then they will select three or four words. And it's not the same.
Yeah.
You don't ever know which words it's going to be. So you have to know all the words to be able to, and then you fill in the words that are missing in that verse. And that's how they test them on their Bible verses each week.
That's a good idea. And I've not really used an app in a long time. I find
I would just take the card right now, but then I would take it to school and stick it, next to me, kind of check it, every so often and try to say it to
myself. We put them in dashboards of our cards.
To me, it's helpful. Yeah. It's almost like one card doesn't work for me. I need to have three or four. I don't know why one just kind of becomes part of the background, so I just shuffle through them.
I just write on my mirrors.
Anyways, there's lots of ways.
A few note cards for one verse and have on one note card it'd be a certain amount of words missing and on the other one it'd be a different amount, different words.
Kind of challenge yourself though.
Yeah. But I definitely like the actual note cards better than the app because I like writing it.
Yeah.
It's just different having it.
Yeah.
Lots of ways to do it. And when you're doing things like this, it kind of goes, it dovetails really easily with meditation. So first, we touched on it 2 weeks ago, the first Bible intake class. So we're going to dive in deep. This is the meat of it. We've got about 20 minutes to really hammer it. It looks like there's a lot here. We're going to kind of glance off a lot of the last portion where he just says, I think he has 17 methods. So we're not going to dive deep on 17 different methods, but if you have some highlights you want to hit, feel free. So first thing, let me back up. Let's say meditation is biblical. We all last week kind of talked about, or last time, idea that the world has conscripted the word meditation and made it into something that's synonymous with like transcendental Eastern sort of empty your mind, you know, be one with the universe. And while what they're doing, they're calling meditation, I would say that, you know, biblical meditation is its own thing. It is not a form of meditation. You know, it is biblical meditation, and then there's something else. We can't change the vocabulary the world uses, and we don't want to change the word of the scripture from meditation. But we just know what we're talking about biblically is different than someone, you know, trying to empty their mind and, you know, be one with the universe, which sounds goofy, but that's actually what they're trying to do.
But I like that, you know, that you're saying biblical.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we're going
to
talk.
Like, if I'm going to say to somebody, well, I meditate, you know, they're going to, the very first thing is they're going to think of that Eastern religion. Mm-hmm. And if I just said, well, I biblically meditate.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different kind of
meditation.
Yeah.
And if you want to use a different word or different phrasing, that is fine too. I mean, you can describe what you're doing. You know, yes, I take time to think deeply on the scriptures, which is really what you're doing. So biblical meditation is the act of filling your mind with truth. The worldly idea of meditation is to empty your mind, open yourself to new realities. And this is a bad idea. you know, there's a, I wish I'd thought about this ahead of time. There's a parable in the Gospels where Jesus talks about a guy emptying his mind. You know, there's a demon in there, and he empties his mind and gets it all clean, but he doesn't fill it with anything else. And then he goes and gets seven more demons or six more and comes back, you know, and re-inhabits the empty mind. And it sounds like an Eastern sort of story, you know, but it's in the scriptures. And it comes from this idea of emptying our minds. We don't want to empty our minds. Even if you've ever seen like Karate Kid, there's probably that idea of like, you know, you're like an empty cup. I can't fill your mind. You need to empty your mind first. You know, that's sort of a, it seems like I've heard that exact analogy. You got to empty it first. But the truth is our minds are already full. They're always full. We need to fill it with the scriptures. Scripture displaces other things, right? It's like the idea of light and darkness. You know, you don't have to get rid of darkness. You just shine light. And it's the same idea. When you fill your mind with scriptural truths, it displaces what's in there. We don't go in and dig out lies. We fill it with truth. And that is one of the core principles of growing spiritually at all. All right, let's just back up here for a second and say, whatever you're trying to do spiritually, the wrong approach is to get rid of the bad. If you're just doing that, you will never succeed. It's always about replacing, supplanting the bad with good, to put off, but put on. Right? So when we talk about filling our mind with truth, we are going to say, well, I don't want to believe this lie. But we don't do that just by getting rid of the lie. We get rid of it by implementing the truth. So this is the biggest, probably, factor of meditation. It is filling our minds with truth, filling our minds with scripture, filling our hearts. You know, like Jesus said, and what you fill yourself with will overflow eventually. This is definition in the book here. Meditation is defined as deep thinking on truths, spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, or upon your life from a scriptural perspective. So he's not tying us down to, I just have to look at a scripture verse. But we could look at something that's happened in our lives and just see how the scriptures impacted us. Or think about God's blessing on us, or think about anything the way that's from a scriptural perspective. It's bigger than just thinking about a Bible verse. For the purpose of understanding, application, and prayer, and there's probably more purposes we could add here for Thanksgiving, peace, comfort, all kinds of things. Because I definitely have more purposes for meditation than this. It's oftentimes peace, confirmation, guidance, comfort, encouragement. So we go down the list of the reasons why, the benefits of or purposes of meditation there. This is a quote from the book that I thought was particularly good. It's a good illustration.
I got that one underlined.
And he has a whole illustration about steeping a tea bag and that sort of thing. And he kind of ends up with their meditation of the scripture. It's letting the Bible brew in the brain.
That's a good coffee reference.
Yeah. Coffee, you know. Tea. Tea is really good because, you know, the longer you let it steep, the stronger it gets.
That's right.
But it's true. And meditation is a long process. So let me see. I think there's the other one. Yeah. This is closely connected to that. So there's several illustrations he gives in a row that are all kind of the same. That meditation is not a drive-by event. It's not a flyover event. It is a slow, soaking, lingering sort of event. Linger in God's Word. And the truth is, you can read a text in 30 seconds. You can't meditate on something in 30 seconds. It's just not possible. You have to let it marinate. And he gives another good illustration about fire and warmth. You know, if you want to, he talks about being out in the cold all day. If you come in and you just walk by the fire, that doesn't warm you up. You might feel the warmth of the fire, but if you want to get warm, you get to sit by the fire until, you know, it warms your whole body. And the same with God's Word. If we want to get the effect, we set, and I've got a couple, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I've got a couple videos. So think about the Bible and reading the scriptures like water. He gives an illustration here of, you know, just having so much Bible intake without meditation is like a flood. It's a lot of information, but it doesn't soak in. Let's see if this works. No, it's not working. Aww. There it is. This is an interesting video. We may not watch the whole thing, but...
Floods.
So
No sign of recent floods, he says. I thought that was amazing.
And you look around. It sank in. Somehow it looks like it would have.
It probably it sank in.
But it washes. It just washes everything.
It flows through. And I have family that lives out in Phoenix and New Mexico. And it's strange. I'll tell you how it floods. Yeah. And I have family in West Texas. And I drove through a town and the road went down in this huge culvert. Back up, and it's got to be 12 feet deep. And I'm like, why do you need a drainage ditch that big? It never rains here. And I'm like, well, but when it does rain, it floods. And the idea is, you know, it's a ton of rain at one time, but it's still a desert because it doesn't soak. It doesn't sink in. We won't really watch this video. It's just a picture of rain.
It's what we are
used to. We just had it.
But it does better for the land, a slow, soaking rain that lasts for 6 hours, and it just
changes.
It's not a flood, you know, and that changes the landscape. It does good for the land. So we can get to where we're so heavy on the scripture intake that it's just almost not useful. You have so much information, you can't use it. That's why I would tell people, I have no shame about telling people. A lot of times, I'm trying to find my mouse here. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, how do I memorize scripture? Or what am I doing wrong? And I will tell them, sometimes you're reading too much. People are like, what? I'm reading too much Bible. I said, yeah, if you don't remember it, you're reading too much. Slow down. Maybe you need to read half that. If you walk away and you don't remember three verses, read two.
It's like eating food. Like you can scarf down your food and you don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
If you chew on it and you think about the taste, you know, it's just, I think of like ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want to just really enjoy the ice cream and eat it slow. You know, let it last and everything. Or as opposed to eating it really fast and getting brain freeze and then, you know, not really enjoying it and it's gone.
That's right. So I don't think we should say to people, you know, quit listening to preaching or quit reading the Bible. But what we should say, should keep in mind is if we don't have something to take away from that, what good has it been? And on the flip side, if I've only had time to come to church and listen to a sermon and read one chapter of scripture this whole week or two verses this whole week, but I've got something I can use, I've got something tangible, something that's going to change who I am, the way I live, you're better off to do it that way. It's not a competition to see how much you can read. You don't get... Jesus is not like, well, good job. I mean, that's not the way it
works.
Not the checkbox.
The checkbox is ruining you in the church. It's like, read your Bible daily.
Mm-hmm.
Studied your lesson. Bring a friend. What was it? Invite somebody.
Context.
How many
contexts?
Good
These are
honest.
These are some of his suggestions on Bible meditation. Select an appropriate passage. That kind of goes without saying. We've already kind of talked about that. Something that speaks to you, I think, for me personally, is going to be easier to meditate on. And probably, you know, more useful. Select a method, and here we go. I'm going to list them all. We won't nail them all. We're just going to...
There were some I liked better than others.
Yeah.
You know, which I know each person is different and
emphasize different words in the text. So if it's one verse, this is a good one. It doesn't say emphasize every word separately, but it does help you kind of think through a text. One of the things you don't get out of the scripture is inflection.
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't know what is emphasized unless it's repeated or something. This can help you kind of consider a verse from a different perspective.
Yeah. I actually tried that. From a verse I had to, I thought, interesting.
It can work. And then some of them you read it, and if you emphasize a word, it sounds totally weird.
Mm-hmm.
Rewrite it in your own words. This is a great way to meditate on the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
if I will say this, if you have done a little bit of study ahead of time, because sometimes taking the text out of context, you know, just pull a verse and rewrite it, you will be totally wrong. So don't rewrite in your own words and take that as the scripture. Be careful with that. Me and I think I was talking to Will today about there's a passage we were talking about reading comprehension. You know, and you know, there's a passage where Jesus commands Thomas to like put his finger in his side and all this stuff. And he said, "Now you believe." And I said, "You know, see, this is teaching us that we don't have to believe in Jesus unless we can physically touch him, right?" No, that doesn't mean that. But you have to know the context.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the only verse you knew, it would be totally weird. And if you rewrote it in your own words and didn't know the context, so make sure you know the meaning before you start rewriting. I would say, formulate a principle from the text. These are kind of like Bible study methods, to be honest with you, but same sort of, I mean, it's all overlapping. We're going to move quickly here because we're running out of time. Think of an illustration. This is, you know, something that, like, Jesus did this often with parables. Look for applications of the text. Again, kind of Bible study methods. This is a real specific one, how it points to the law or gospel. Probably not my favorite, but this is a good one. How does a text point to Jesus? This is a great exercise for anywhere you're in the scriptures. I do recommend this one. I think this is a good mental exercise because even if it's not directly pointing to Jesus, you can find the pathway to Jesus. Should be able to find it pretty quickly. Is there a question that's answered, a problem that's solved? Another great one, I think, number 9, praying through the text. Not every verse is something you can pray through. So I would recommend, you know, getting out to a context that's big enough that you can pray through it or read on to a verse that you can. Of course, memorizing the text. This is one he talked about, being, you know, an artist, drawing a picture or writing a poem. This is a good one, asking the Philippians 8 questions, you know, whatever's true, honorable, noble, trustworthy, or worthy.
I will say, go back to where it says create an artistic expression of the text. I wrote down hymns, and you mentioned, I tell you what, there I have learned more scripture through hymns.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good
point. If you can sing that, it sticks. Singing
it really
singing a scripture sticks.
It really does. The Joseph Hall questions are something in your book. You can see those. Trying to find a number of insights. This is, again, more of a Bible study method. Finding a common thread between things you've read. To me, this is actually a really helpful one for Bible study. If you're reading a decent-sized passage, say, a chapter or a couple chapters or something, this keeps me reading with curiosity. And that's what helps me stay engaged, is I'm looking for something. Does anybody read fiction? Y'all read fiction books at home? If you do, there's like the plot is driving you and you're trying to find out what's about to happen, so you keep reading kind of with that question in mind. It's hard to do that nonfiction. And in the scriptures, it's hard to do that because hopefully we all kind of know where it's going. But if you have something else, like what's the common theme? What's the argument that Paul's making here? Or, you know, how many times does Jesus use the word bread in this discussion?
I'll say this. I guess it was the last time we met, and it was talking about like reading the Bible, and it was given like the example of trying to get like an app or something. I'm not doing all that kind of stuff, but I decided, since I have a 20-minute drive up to school and about a 20-25-minute back to school, I found an app that it's really cool because I'm already in Romans now. But in the Gospels, I was listening to it, and as I was listening to it, then it'd go like from Matthew to Mark, and I thought, wait a minute, I already heard this. And then it started clicking and thinking, you know what? They're saying the same thing in this one, and this one, but then only in this one did it give the, you know, the Samaritan woman. There, you know, there was only one gospel that gave the Samaritan woman story. But it was very interesting to listen to all four gospels and what were common in all four gospels.
Yeah. That's a great way to study. It's a great way to read and meditate. I like that, the idea of kind of looking for common threads, looking just really, I would say, read with some sort of question, whatever that is. He says a common thread. You can look for anything. Well, we've run out of time here. The last one is kind of a weird sounding thing, but it's just kind of like outlining. We won't go through the points of application, but I want to make sure we get y'all out on time tonight. But obviously, we did not make it to prayer. We'll just keep pushing that until we find two that are small enough we can put them together. Next week, we'll do prayer. Go ahead and read, prepare for the next chapter. We might be able to do that one, which is
worship.
Is worship. We'll probably be able to put those two together.
They were short ones.
So, but let me pray for us. We'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your word. And we do pray that we would hide it in our hearts, Lord, not just so that we can say that we've memorized scripture, but so that we can live this life with more confidence, with more joy, with more worship in our hearts, Lord, so that we can be more pleasing to you, so that we can edify the brothers and sisters and win souls and do all the things we're here to do, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Y'all, good discussion.